sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. No. I told you, I lived this shit. I ain't up here just rapping and tapping, spitting and skitting and shit. Nah, not me. I'm not you. I'm not you, rapper. I'm not you. Rappers is talking to me as if, come on, we in the same boat. I tell them quick, no, I move coke. And if you and I don't share no common bond, so forgive me if I don't receive you with open arms. It shames me to no end to feed poison to those who could very well be my kin. But where there's the man, someone will supply. So I feed them their need, at the same time cry. Yes, it pains me to see them need this. All of them lost souls, and I'm their Jesus. Deepest regret and sympathy to the streets. I seen them pay for their fix when their kids couldn't eat. So sorry. And with this in mind, I still couldn't quit. And that's how I know that I ain't shit. My heart bleeds, but that's aside from the fact I live for my kids and theirs and them youngins after that. Wow. Wow. Are you serious? Wow, hold on. Yeah.
More fire!
That deserved more fire. All right, let's get to it. Welcome, bienvenue, to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Now, before I continue with the show, I want to inform all you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on April 16, 2023. What time is it? 4:24 p.m.? This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Hey, yeah. One more time. Yes. Okay, let's, no timer this time. Well, there's a timer, but I'm just going to look at, hold on. I'm just going to look at the time on my board. Okay. Intro. Like I said, for you new listeners, this podcast is, the way I go about this show is it's broken down into three segments, three acts. Think of it as acts. The first one is the intro, which I'm doing right now. And this is where I kind of like you as the audience, I kind of lube you in to the process, you know, this is the foreplay section, you know, just where are you from? Anyone celebrating a birthday? You know, that kind of shit. And the next section after that is called News and Random Thoughts. And the last one is Final Thoughts. All right. So that's how I break it down. And usually I have a section in the intro called What's Up With The Title. Actually, it's not usual. It's just something I just started doing. But that, What's Up With Today's Title, is reserved for the Final Thoughts section. But I will say, the verse that I just read earlier on is from the rap group Clips, and it was recited by the rapper, the member Malice. And, you know what? I'll elaborate on my choice, on why it was my choice for this week in the Final Thoughts. All right, just real quick, if you're in the 613, better known by you crackers as Ottawa, it's very sunny. It's nice out there, right? Actually, it's been sunny for the past few days. And it's kind of interesting. Well, it's not interesting. It just hit me that I'm those kind of people who, you know what I like about winter? When it's snow, basically, I don't feel guilty about not going out. But when it's sunny, something tells me I need to go out. And I don't go out. I'll probably stay inside, binge some shit, you know, smoke some weed, clean up some shit. yeah, right. Like I'm going to clean something up. But I'm saying I'm an indoor person. And I think about that. I won't be surprised if that's, I'm not the only one like that. But okay, what's special about this moment of realizing that I'm an indoor person is how I was online looking for content creators that I could, on Twitch, YouTube, whatever the fuck, that I could consume online to pass the time. And it's kind of like an attempt at human connection while staying indoors. And I am wondering, is that what this podcast is all about? I guess I'm saying, if you're one of those people who hates going outside and using this podcast as a substitute for it, then power to you, man. That's exactly what I do it for. But it just, I was just fascinated at how the inner conflict in me when it's nice and sunny outside. I want to go out, but I don't want to spend money. But and when I go out, then I'm like, fuck, what do I do now? I'm not the outdoorsy person. I don't do camping. I don't go I don't have a yacht. I don't go to no cottage. I don't, I guess I could drive around, but gas is high. Thank you, Putin. Price of gas is high and shit. And, the other thing too, is I noticed when I was outside how I don't know. There's an anxiety that kicks in when I'm outdoor that I can't explain. I'm not sure if it's because I'm overstimulated or whether I'm when I go out, it's because I need to go out. But under my own volition, like there's people out there when they see the sun, the nice sun out there, they go out there and get tanned, whatever the fuck. But I don't do that. I was just, yeah, noticing how it's nice and sunny. Look, I'm going to just end it with, yo, God bless the nice sunny period, the nice beautiful weather that we've been having, even though I didn't take the time to properly appreciate it. I mean, I did, but from the inside with some open windows and a fan and some, I did get ice cream earlier on, you know, shout out to my homegirl, the homie Jay. It was her idea. We went to get some ice cream and I feel like I did what normal people do. But yeah, so if I sound a little hyper, it's the Dairy Queen ice cream that I just had earlier on. All right, okay. Before I end the intro section of today's episode, I'm gonna read a quote that I found on the internet, and I think it's gonna the overall theme of today's episode. Okay, here's what. Okay, the overall. Usually this is what happens when I prepare for a show. I collect a whole bunch of articles and I use that to decide what the show is going to be about. And now it hit me. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Me, this is your podcast. Take control. Now I'm trying to force a theme and make everything that I post in somehow connected to the theme. And so I guess today's theme is related to the idea of, well, to this quote. It goes, first of all, shout out to Wise Connector on Twitter, who I follow. And the quote goes, "You are not meant to live like the others. You are meant to live as yourself." Wow. Now, if you've lived a life like I did, you've been living your life the complete opposite. You know, I can blame Christianity for it, but, you know, it's deeper than that. But it's just using Christianity is just such an easy example. And, yeah, no, I grew up being a slave of someone else's definition of Christianity. And you can always count on some asshole, I use the word asshole, even if they're relatives, some asshole, some narcissistic asshole, looking at you, criticizing what you're doing. Oh, you're listening to rap music? Oh, you're standing like that? You're wearing a FUBU jacket? Whatever the fuck. You can count on some asshole to get on your nerves about, hey, what you're doing is not Christ-like. Yeah, no, Christianity was a way to control your behavior. And so I grew up with the notion that you don't live for yourself, that I grew up with the notion that you were meant to live, you're not meant to live, like others say you should live. And yeah, so that's why, I guess that's why this quote hits me so well. And in the final thoughts, it's going to revolve around that quote. But this concludes, yeah, the intro. Let's jump to use some random thoughts. And thoughts. Am I pronouncing it right? Thoughts. I'm not saying T-H-O-T. I'm saying thoughts. T-H-O-U-G-H-T. Yeah, let's get to that then, because there's a lot to run through, and we'll see how that goes. All right. Let's do this. Bam, bam. Fuck, I love that sound. All right. Okay. Step one. There's a lot of the first three. There's a lot of clips from TikTok that I'll be sharing with you. The first one is called "The Unborn" by Ruben Woodwall, and makes a strong point that so strong that I felt the need to make it. To make it an item on this podcast, to make it a part of put on the rundown sheet, and it goes like this.
You should have something better to do with your life, young woman.
What, defending the unborn and coming out?
The unborn are a convenient group of people to advocate for. They never make demands of you, they are morally uncomplicated, unlike the incarcerated, addicted, or the chronically poor. They don't resent your condescension or complain that you are not politically correct. Unlike orphans, they don't need money, childcare, or education. They allow you to feel good about yourself without any work at creating or maintaining relationships. And when they are born, you can forget about them because they cease to be unborn. You can love the unborn and advocate for them without substantially challenging your own wealth, power, or privilege. Right. Without reimagining social structures, apologizing, or making reparations to anyone. They are, in short, the perfect people to love if you want to claim you love Jesus, but actually dislike people who breathe. Prisoners, immigrants, the sick, the poor, widows, orphans, all the groups that are specifically mentioned in the Bible, they all get thrown under the bus for the unborn.
Peace. Word up. Hold on. There's something he says at the beginning.
What? Defending the unborn and coming out?
The unborn.
Hold on.
Are convenient.
Pastor David Barnhart? Oh, he's quoting someone. He says, "The unborn are a convenient group of people to advocate for." Pastor. Oh, that's interesting. Because I'm getting ready to shit on Christianity. And Pastor, that quote came from. Hold on a second. Let me make sure. Is that what? Is he reading? What the fuck? This is not part of the show. And David, I didn't realize. It sounds like he was reading something. Barnhart. Okay, he's a pastor. Okay, let me see if I put in the word unborn. Did I mention I had ice cream? And fuck, and it's like, that shit was. Oh, well, I'll be damned. Okay, yeah, so he was reading a quote. "The unborn are a convenient group of advocate for they have." Oh my God. All right. Okay, look. Shout out to Ruben Woodwall, Woodall, excuse me. Woodall, the link to his page, to what you just heard, is in the show notes. Because I thought he wrote that shit. He wrote that shit. He created. I thought he was reading something he wrote, but instead he was reading something by Methodist pastor David Barnhart. Oh my God, that's fucking amazing. I'm laughing. I love these episodes when I make my own self laugh. All right, okay. It's not the end of the world, but okay, look, first things first. Two, one for sharing it because it was deep. Make that three. Yeah. The second reason is, second thought is, don't argue with fools, kids. Don't argue with fools. But if you have to, and this fool is talking about and saying some bullshit, pro-breeding, pro-life, excuse me, pro-breeding slash life talking points, just remember, them saying, hey, I'm just doing it for the unborn is bullshit. It's like saying, I'm doing it for the kids. I'm getting on your nerve for the kids. You know, it's, and this is where I'm shitting on Christianity is, in Christianity, I should say in my experience with Christianity, but fuck it, man. That's like saying not all men. You deal with it, right? My experience with Christianity, it's the perfect religion to hide the fact that you're an abuser, to hide the fact that you're a piece of shit, to hide the fact that you couldn't give a fuck about these kids, right? As long as you can say, hey, the Bible, use words like the Bible, gods, or the unborn. I'm protecting the sacredness of life and bullshit like that. It's like, it's words, it's shit you can throw in the way to get in the way of progress. Progress for me is letting women decide what to do with their body, right? Because if we let women decide what to do with their body, then maybe men might make more responsible decisions about. Some men might make more responsible decisions about what they do with their sperm. Do you know what I mean? Come on, let's not bullshit, man. As a guy, I've grown up and no one, even going to Catholic school, they were like, yeah, man, you need to be responsible about your penis. Don't be having sex with any freaky woman out there. But it was like wink, but like the responsibility was more on women. Like, women got a bigger lecture about closing their legs than I have about not, being, what's that expression? What's that verse? Being fruitful and multiply. Like, look, I get props. If I fucked a whole bunch of chicks, I get props as a man than I do, as a woman. If I go to my friends, tell them I went on a date with some girl and I come back and talking about, nah, we didn't have sex, I'm an asshole. What the fuck? What? Did you get her drunk? You know, like, it's like, I'm not allowed to hang out with a woman, especially if she's very attractive, and then tell everyone that, yeah, no, we didn't fuck. I just like her for her personality. What the fuck is wrong with you? Your penis didn't go inside of her. You know what I mean? Okay, look. Okay, well, I'm getting off track. I forgot there's a time limit to this using random thoughts part. But look, yeah. So shout out to, there was a third point I was going to make. I forgot. Actually, you know, yeah, I'll stop because I'm trying to perfect the Mona Lisa. Like, whatever homie wrote, I can't add to it. It's just perfect. It's just well said. So shout out to Rubert. I'm going to get this right. Reuben Woodall and Pastor David Barnhart. All right. I'll put a link in the quote. What did I say? I'll put the link to the quote in the show notes. All right, man. It's like I'm high or something like that. The unborn. I'm going to put the unborn. Because if I don't write it down, I won't do it later. David, you're no bizarre look, David Barnhart. All right, okay. All right, let me clear my throat. Let me update my notes because or else I won't do it. Damn, it's warm here. Oh, because I, whoops. All right, okay, let's go. Bang, okay. All right. How many do I have? Oh, okay. Let me. It's okay. Leaked audio reveals Tennessee Republicans are pissed at being made to seem racist. Okay. Was it the last show? No, the episode called Tennessee. That must have been 068. I didn't call it Tennessee, did I? No, I called it Climb the Trees My Ancestors Hung From. And it was in reference to Tennessee. Well, on that episode, I went on a rant. I was pissed. I expressed my feelings about the fact that these two legislators, black legislators, were expelled from, what do you got, the House of Congress? Whatever the fuck their parliament is. In Canada, we have parliaments. Well, whatever that government building is for those people, right? They had one of those. They were expelled from it. And you know why? You know why? You think they were protesting reparations? No. You think they were protesting a discount on fried chicken? No. You think they were protesting, I'm trying to say something racist, you know, discount on Afro Sheen? You know what I mean? No. You know what they were protesting? To do something about the recent shooting in their fucking state. In their city. A shooting. So, yeah, apparently these two brothers were, not just these two brothers. They're called the Tennessee Three. You know what? I got to act like you've read the article, whatever, but because that's not the point, okay? The Tennessee Three, they wanted their voices heard, so they bought a megaphone, and as a result of that, they got, you know, they were expelled. Well, they were, two of them got expelled. There were three who protested, and two of them got expelled. And the word is, well, the two of them had megaphones, but the truth is, you know, they were also black. Okay, but that's not the point, is they got their job back. I'm not sure they got their job back, they're back in the house, they were voted back in. And now, I have this article that I won't read, it's kind of, it's kind of long, and it's about a leak that went out of, like the title says it, where these Republicans are going on a rant about the fact that they're being called racist. Now, I listened to what the first, hold on, let me start the clip.
Please forgive me if my comments are not going to fall this right way. I think now, more than ever.
Yeah, no, it's too low for it to understand. It's not legible, but I probably listened to the first few minutes, probably the first 60 seconds, whatever, and I gave up. And the article that's in the show notes summarizes the leak, what's been discussed. But here's the biggest part that got to me, is the realization, the hopelessness fighting slavery, fighting racism. Now, it's one thing for white people, the fact that they benefit from racism, right? But the other thing too is the way they look at racism is nowhere fucking close to a solution. It's like having a flat tire and you're talking about, well, maybe if we put prayers in school, this flat tire wouldn't have happened. Like, you're nowhere close to putting a spare tire if you're thinking that you need to start praying. Oh my God. What's that Albert Einstein quote? It says, sometimes the problem is how you look at the problem. What I'm getting at in this quote is that these Republicans, these assholes, known for being racist, for doing racist shit. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna help them out. I'm not gonna call them racist, but I will say benefit from racism, profit from racism, cash their check, make a living, feed their kids with fucking racism. Out of everything they're pissed off at is being called racist. Like, that's the biggest problem in the world. That's the biggest insult. That's what this rant, the leak is all about, is these motherfuckers are on a rant or are just talking about. It's... Sorry. I have an image of walking into a white barbershop and anyone goes silent because what they were talking about is the last time some black dude at their work called them racist. And I'm like, hey, please, I need a hug. You know, I need... Like, that's what's being discussed in their safe space. Like, that's what they're like, hey, show me on this doll where that black person touched you after he called you a racist. Being called racist is not being racist. You see, this, it's like, I've always known this. I've always, of course, I've known this. It's just a reminder. But white people, there is no hope for them being a solution to racism if their biggest concern is being perceived as racist, being called racist, as opposed to actually being a fucking racist. Like, it, Patrice O'Neal, may he rest in peace, he had this bit, or some quote. I remember he was at, he was one of his jokes, he was talking about how, or this idea he exposed. He says, we all agree racism exists, but no one wants to take responsibility for it. And like, you ask any of the average white person, they'll be like, me, I'm not racist, never been racist. Trudeau's been racist. Like, they'll point to everyone else who's been racist. But them, I have nothing to do with this racism shit that these black people keep bringing up. Yeah, I've gone too long. I hate when I do that. I've gone too long. I have more shit to cover, and I've gone too long on a particular... I notice I do that with the first topic. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, the hopelessness of fighting racism. That's all that leak made me think about. All right, this one is more funny. I'm not going to play it, but the title, the headline goes, the anti-woke beer. Anti-woke beer called out for costing 4 times more than Bud Light. Ultra Right. So some white boy created a beer brand, I guess called Ultra Right, and I guess it's to compete with I'll tell you what, I'll play it for you, because it just made me chuckle. Plus, it's only 3 minutes. I get to use the audio bot for it. So here goes.
By Nick Reynolds, maker of an anti-woke alternative to Bud Light, is being called out online over the high price of his product.
Okay, I'm going to rewind it. Rewind it. Hold on. Okay, here we go.
By Nick Reynolds.
Nick Reynolds is the author of this article. Okay, here we go.
Maker of an anti-woke alternative to Bud Light is being called out online over the high price of his product, which, including the cost of shipping, comes out to more than 4 times the price of one of America's best-selling beers. Following conservative backlash against Bud Light's parent company Anheuser-Busch's partnership with a transgender influencer, Seth Weathers, a Georgia-based political consultant and apparel company CEO who led President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign in the state, announced he would begin selling a 100% woke free beer as a bulwark to woke corporations. The video went viral, amassing 2.2 million views in 24 hours and prompting what Weathers described to Newsweek as thousands of pre-orders of conservative dad's Ultra right ahead of the product's formal launch next month.
Wow.
A handful of replies were positive, with people saying they were excited to buy the brew or asking questions about its calorie content. Online, however, the feedback was largely negative or mocking as the beer became a trending topic on Twitter. For some, what was more attention-grabbing than the advertisement was the price of the brew itself. $20 for a pack of 6 beers. And that's before shipping, a necessity for customers due to the fact they could not yet legally sell the product in stores. The beer also has a lower alcohol content, 4.0%, than a can of Bud Light. In one post, a potential customer told Weathers they decided against buying the beer, saying that while they wanted to support him, they could not afford the $35 total cost it would have amounted to with the shipping cost included. Critics of the brand quickly piled on. I'm going to pay $35 for a 6-pack to own the libs.
Okay, you know, you can read the rest, but the idea is, you fucking suckers. Look, man, I think I just wanted to bring up how this news, Bud Light did some woke shit. Apparently, did I mention it? No, I think I might have tweeted about it, but apparently Bud Light endorsed a trans woman, trans person, and, you know, like they do, like a beer. And a lot of these right-wing folks got their feelings hurt. When I say right-wing folks, I'm going to say, you know, a bunch of white dudes. Even though there was some black folks involved in there, but, you know, they know better than them. They take their marching order from these same white dudes. Anyway, yeah, they were pissed, and they were recording themselves making videos of, you know, I mean, ain't never drinking Bud Light. Here's the fucked up part. I don't even like Bud Light either. You know, I got to cut that. I've been cutting down on my beer consumption. But that's not the point. but I have to fucking drink it to piss off these fucking, look. Like, every smart person who's been commenting, who has been saying already, Bud Light, when they make these decisions, they know what the fuck they're doing. They know a bunch of you rednecks are going to be pissed off at this decision to endorse a trans person. And you need to come, and they know, like, they're making it all about wokeism when the truth is, after a certain age, and I won't lie, it took a bit for me to accept it too. I think after I hit my 30s, I started to realize that nothing was being marketed towards me. Not the cool shit. There was no parties. It's like I was forgotten by the mainstream stuff, like commercial. No one's telling me about parties, cruises, schools, clothes, whatever the fuck. Like, nothing is being averaged. It's as if I became a demographic that no one gave a fuck. No one really cares. I mean, sure, they'll market Viagra to me. They'll, hey, have you made plans for your death yet? Oh, you don't have any kids? Oh, well, have you, you live in Canada, so I guess you can't buy guns and kill yourself. All right, where I'm going with this is Bud Light did a business decision, and they had their accountant, they had their math genius do crunch the numbers, and they realized that we can't keep marketing our beer towards men. Making it the men's shit to do. To white males or whatever. We can't make beer the manly shit. We got to get out of that business. Now, we need to get with the time. So, yeah, you're fucking forgotten. And instead of accepting it, these motherfuckers are going out there paying for, like suckers, buying a more expensive beer brand just to own the libs. And not knowing that, but, yo, not just Bud Light. What's the name of Bud Light's umbrella company? Their Osh something? Some German name. Whatever. Fuck. This is my way of saying the house wins. You look at me, eh? Like, I'm acting like these motherfuckers listen to this podcast. It just made me laugh. These they wanted to own the lib by paying for more expensive beer. Okay, now don't get me wrong. I would I should be careful because I'm really to go to Nashville. Sorry. I'm wondering whether them paying more money on beer to own the libs is equivalent to me paying regular price on Bud on a beer I don't fucking like to own the right. Which one of us is the bigger sucker? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no, I don't drink Bud Light. But if there's a hint, if I'm at a Christmas party or whatever the fuck, and I know it's going to piss off some fucking cross-burning, cracker-ass motherfucker, then yeah, I'll probably do it. Thing is, they'll see that I'm bullshit. You ain't gonna finish your beer? Yeah, I will. Just in the washroom. But anyway, man, yeah, these corporations have us fighting each other. But yeah, woo, shit made me laugh. All right, okay, I'm gonna play this next clip, and I promise not to add more because I can't say any better. All right, I can't. It's just a TikTok clip worth sharing, and the content creator.
The thing about people with rejection sensitivity.
Sorry, Jesus Christ, I hate when I do that. Okay, rewind. Content creator's name is healthygamer.gg, Dr. K, all right? And Dr. K dropped some signs with this shit. Here goes.
The thing about people with rejection sensitivity is their brain is wired to interpret neutral stimuli as negative. And their brain is wired to discount positive stimuli. And their brain is wired to amplify negative stimuli. So you have a filter that doesn't let you see the good, turns the neutral into bad, and amplifies the negative. And that's how you arrive at the conclusion that these people don't like me. It's because you're literally ignoring 70% of the information. And that's like scientific. That's like literally what happens in the brains of people who are rejection sensitive. They've done studies on this stuff.
Really? Really? Hold on. Okay, here's the thing. The overall message, I agree. Like, it makes sense. The overall message, this shit could be quantified into a science. Like, there's a thing called rejection sensitivity. Okay, look, all I know is I got the hypersensitive shit going. I got the introvert thing going. I got the low self-esteem going. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm agreeing with what he's saying. It's just the there's a thing in my brain called rejection sense. I don't know.
Neutral stimuli is negative. And their brain is neutral stimuli is negative. And their brain is wired to discount positive stimuli. And
I'm nitpicking whatever, right? It's more Okay. Let me stop myself and say the reason I played this clip is especially the end part where he says you're used on accepting negative input and rejecting positive. That I can agree on. It's the details that's making me, maybe he just explained it in a way so dumb people to understand it. Because if he used words like cerebral and whatever the fuck, I don't know how the brain works, you know, but I know there's a lot of like wiring in there. Like, I wouldn't understand it. Yeah, maybe he just explained it. He just dumbed down the language in a way that. But the overall message makes sense. That's what I wanted to share with y'all. That's it. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm worried some asshole is going to, oh, fuck. That's not how the brain works. Yeah. That's the only thing I'm worried about. Okay. All right. Last piece of content. I'm over. Doesn't matter. I forget. All right. Last piece of content. This is you. It's by a brother named. He's a poet. He's also a poet and a content creator. Let me just get his. He's a poet, son. His name is Solaris. Dope ass name. Abolitionist Garden. Wait, Abolition is a Garden. Pop-up Abolition Bookstore. Oh, wow. Okay, follow. Hold on a second. Okay, I don't know. So in his TikTok profile, since it's important for me for you to be able to identify and find these content creators. So his name is Solaris. His TikTok user handle is soladarling_. Okay, links will be in the show notes. Now in his profile, he calls himself Poet Son, Making Revolution Irresistible. And he links an Instagram page to a bookstore. Okay. Now I'm going to play something he shared about defining his personhood. And I'm going to use that as a segue to my final thoughts. All right. Okay. So here goes. Oh, fuck. Where is it? Damn. Okay, here we go. Oh, right, I didn't put, okay. Damn, this shit is complicated. Dismiss. Boom, so here we go. Brace yourself. It's gonna see some deep shit.
So, my pronoun.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, here we go.
So, my pronouns are they, them, and I need people to understand that I truly don't give a fuck if you use the wrong pronouns most of the times. I'm not gonna correct you, because to me my pronouns are like an approximation. It's language that can never contain all of who I am. So when I say my pronouns are they them, I'm just letting you know, yo, I would like for you to acknowledge the fact that I'm not a man or a woman, that I exist outside of this binary. But if you don't do that, that's your problem. It's not mine. You cannot misgender me, because my gender is something that is personal and beautiful. Oh my god, the way that the energies flow through me that created whatever the fuck we got going on over here is unique. Word it's up. Unprecedented. So I'm not mad at you for being confused. I'm not mad at you for getting it wrong, to be honest. But I'm not gonna, that's not my work to help you fix that. You know, good luck, baby, good luck. If I correct you on your pronouns use, which I might sometimes, is most likely, most of the time, is because I care about the space that we're holding together. And I want you to be in right relationship with me as I want to be in right relationship with you. So if I correct you on pronouns, it's because I fuck with you. And I'm just like, yeah, I would like you to stick around. So here's one way that would make me feel a little bit more affirmed when we're together. Again, if you decide not to do that, then I'm just like, okay, bet. That tells me so much more about you than it does about me. Just I'm going to express my gender how I'm going to express my gender. And the girls who get it. And the ones who don't. And obviously, I'm not going to leave y'all hanging. Here are two essays that have been really meaningful to me and my understanding of how I want to hold my gender. Like, these have really been maps for me. One, this one right here kind of touches on that idea that you can't misgender me at all. So if you want to be seen, read this. But if you want to be held, if you want to be held, my gender is a marinage. I return to this essay so often. It is so good. That's what I'm going to say. If you are black and trans, read this.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to read the title of the essays that he recommended and the author's name.
Want to be held?
Okay, hold on a second. The first one is called You Can Never Misgender Me.
Misgender me at all.
And the author's name is Hunter Ashley Shackelford. And second one, the one they refer to as, this person referred to as If You Want to Be Held, it's titled My Gender is Marinage, or Revisitation by Nsambu Za Sukama. If I read that in French, Nsambu Za Sukama. Okay, je l'aurais lu la même façon. I would have read the same way. All right, okay. All right, now, okay, two reasons why I read it. First, I'm going to read the caption this content creator put under under this video. It goes, my personhood is not shaped by your perception. Badass. That's badass. That language right there. That right there is why I'm sharing it, but I'll continue reading. No language can contain me. Heavy on the me. This take isn't the case for all trans and non-binary people, so don't use my journey as a reason to disrespect someone else's personhood or disregard their boundaries. Okay, pronoun, hashtag gender, hashtag black non-binary, hashtag black queer TikTok. Right, powerful. Two, this person reminded me that the trans people that I've met in my life have been cool with me. I'm the one who overly stresses myself in not using pronouns properly. And like, I'm stressing myself out. I'm not being comfortable. Like, I'm not being, it's important for me to not disrespect another human being. Okay? I'm in a situation where everything I was told about, I'm in a specific situation where what I was told to not disrespect another human being, which is, this is going to sound weird, respecting their binary gender. Men were men, women were women, right? I remember, yeah, sure, you could probably get away calling a woman a dude, guys, or whatever. But men, you could get your ass kicked calling a man a woman, or you know, shoot, you know, you throw like a girl, you hit like a girl, there's a complex mechanism, faulty programming going on in my mind when it comes to not misgendering human beings. And what I appreciate about this content creator is letting you know, it's like, chill. Calm down. Calm the fuck down. This is why I ask that you respect my pronouns. But if you don't get it right, you know, that's your problem. He's right. That's your problem, not me. And I just appreciated a reminder to calm the fuck down. you'll get it. You'll get it right, but you're not going to get it by beating yourself up for it. That's what I'm trying to say. There we go. All right. Now, the third reason why I'm sharing it, and that's going to go into specifically the part of my personhood, the concept of a personhood. And it reminds me of whether people who are non-cis, what's the word? People who are non-binary, queer, trans, basically our siblings in the LGBTQ community, LGBTQ plus community, their journey is inspirational for someone like me because I'm realizing that my journey is about defining my own personhood, and that's what I'm going to get to in the final portion of this podcast. So let's jump to final thoughts, all right? Final thoughts. Yes, like Jerry Springer, final thoughts. So here goes. All right, nearly done. Okay, the volume was very low on that last video. Again, yeah, notes will be, the links to that last video I played in the show notes. All right. Before I get into the whole defining my personhood is a quick thought. There's a account I follow on another account I follow on Twitter called The Podcast Movement, and I'm still filling them out to see if they're legit or not. And really, they seem to be, the world's largest community of podcasters use resources, the best events in podcasting. Join us in August in Denver. Oh, maybe I should go to Denver. Anyways, yeah, so they asked this question that I didn't answer. I didn't answer on the tweet because a lot of thoughts came to mind, but I figured I'd say it out loud and maybe later respond to that tweet. And the question is, how did you come up with the name of your podcast? Now, if you listen to the manifesto episode of this podcast, episode one of, you know the answer, but I'm going to shorten it as the idea that if you don't know, there's like two versions of this podcast. Okay. And the first one, I call it the Old Testament. And this one, the one you're listening to is called the New Testament. Yeah, some blasphemy shit, right? And the first iteration of Shut Up Podcast, when I would say shut up, well, first it just started out as a joke. Started out with, initially the podcast was supposed to be called We All Need to Shut the Hell Up. And that came from the person I was podcasting with at the beginning, and he... Okay, I promised myself I was going to give you a summary, not the whole explanation, okay? So the point is this. Shut up in the first iteration of Shut Up Podcast was just my way of saying, I'm talking shit. I'm not going to take myself seriously. There's no, don't take any importance to what I'm saying. I'm telling my own self to shut up because you're just talking shit. I'm just, instead of shut up, I could have easily called this podcast Talk Shit Podcast. I'm just. Speaking for the sake of speaking, in the second iteration of Shut Up Podcast, I'm actually speaking shit that I consider to be important. Something that I have a value. Something that I would really appreciate your silence for me to say it out loud. Like, no interruptions. Let me share my thought. I'm speaking while processing my thoughts, and I would appreciate if you didn't interrupt me. I would love it if you would shut up. It's rude. But have you ever seen a comic? If you've ever seen a comic at a club and they've seen a heckler, some comics handle hecklers very well. But in the truth, we don't really like hecklers. It's like an interruption. It's like it's the first thought is I've seen some of the kindest comics go on stage. I guess I should mention, for those who don't know, I used to do comedy. I might do it again, but for now, comedy is a thing of the past. So yeah, So I was thinking of some of the kindest comedians go on stage, and when the heckler would interrupt, they tell them to shut the fuck up, because you're interrupting the presenter, what they're trying to say. That's why I have a microphone, because I can speak louder than you. Anyways, so yeah, that's where I just wanted to bring that up. I just had this moment of reflection how I value what I'm trying to say, hence the name Shut Up Podcast to the audience. And also, not to take myself too seriously, so be black, shut up. All right. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention that it also was inspired by the song Shut Up by Run DMC. Okay. All right. Now, let's get into what's up with the title and today's verse. Okay. Initially, the title of today's episode was going to be something along the line of I'm not trying to be the poster child for HSP, highly sensitive people, right? And I was going to share that rap verse by Malice because I've always, well, one thing is I love reading rap lyrics, and every episode is my opportunity to read and share a rap verse with you. So sometimes it's linked to the show and sometimes it's not. So initially, there wasn't going to be a link between the rap verse that I was sharing and the theme or the overall message of today's podcast. And then it reminded me of, okay, so first I'm sharing it because it was a dope verse, right? But then I think about how we kept saying, I am not you. I love that. How he distinguishes himself from every other rapper. Like, yeah, I probably have dope verses. I probably have a Grammy, but my hunger separates me from you. Like, I probably rap about selling drugs, but I'm not fucking bragging about it. I understand the complication. That verse, that line, hit me the same way that line by Jay-Z, Jay-Z's track, Friend of Foe, the first one. That's the track that made me see, oh shit, okay. This rapper's smarter, is very smart, is very intelligent. Like, that's the one that made me say, okay, I need to start paying attention to this person's rap verse. And especially him talking about, like, being a drug dealer with a conscience. And, yes, it pains me to see them need this. Oh, I'm going to recite this again. Rappers talking as if, he puts emphasis, so forgive me if I don't receive you with open arms. It shames me to no end to feed poison to those who could very well be my kin. But where there's demand, some will supply. So I feed them their needs at the same time cry. I joked a lot about selling drugs. I would rather, instead of my regular 9-to-5, I was a drug seller. But I know for a fact, I won't lie to you, but then I joke about how the only thing that stopped me from selling drugs is I wouldn't cut in jail. Dude, highly sensitive. In jail, I'll probably cry on day one. I joked about how I couldn't sell drugs because I'd be the one telling the addict, saying, okay, you promised to pay me back tomorrow, right? You gotta be cruel. I don't know what the version of me, like, if you put me in a situation where it's kill or be killed, I'll probably die, or I'll be a cruel, the version of me that could survive in the streets, I don't think I want to meet him. that could be he'd likely die quick and whatever. But okay, the other aspect about that line is, it had me think about, I have a fascination with violence that I can't explain. I don't like it, but like, I'm desensitized to violence. I have a friend, she's highly sensitive, and she can't watch violent movies. But she doesn't judge me for watching it, what's up. But she turns away. I understand that. I'm kind of surprised how I managed to get myself to not turn away. To embrace the even violent rap lyrics. Sometimes I wonder, maybe I've been embracing violent rap lyrics, violent content, as a way to convince myself that, nah, I ain't no sensitive bitch. I recently watched an episode of This Is Us, right? Two friends of mine who know me very well recommended it to me. I watched the first episode, I'm like, I wasn't feeling it. The second episode, I started to understand the appeal. Because there was a part where I was nearly, like, that made me emotional. And apparently that's what the show makes you cry or makes you whatever. And I remember being in that moment of vulnerability and angry. I'm like, fuck. I felt like cursing. I'm like, what the fuck did I tell you about making me, trying to make me cry? It's like, give me the violent shows. Interesting. Honestly, I'm sharing a thought that I haven't made sense of yet. But I need to do some more processing. It's, I'll enjoy the violent scene, the decapitation scene in Game of Thrones while thinking about how much I would hate to be that motherfucker who just got decapitated. Like, I will empathize with the victim. Even though I don't like, I can't stop myself. It could be the bad guy. And that's, okay, I don't know if you see, you know, spoiler alert, Game of Thrones, season seven, when one of the bad guy gets it. He gets chewed up by dogs. You know, I went in, I'm like, yeah, that motherfucker deserved it. But on the other end, I'm like, how must it feel like to die while being bitten, while being devoured by dogs? You know, I don't know. I think sometimes I probably... It's interesting. Consume violent content as a way to be like, no, I am not the hyper, I am not a sensitive human being. Which brings me to my next point, which was going to be the title of today's episode. I don't want to be the poster child for highly sensitive people like Alyssa Boyer. I meant to share something that she posted on her website. And Julie Jelen. That's the only two names I found when it comes to the concept of highly sensitive people. Oh shit! Hold on, no. There's a third person. You know what? Okay, I didn't do my research. I am hold on a second. Yes, no. The real name. Apparently, she's like the OG of this shit. Her name is Elaine Aaron, okay? And she's the one who coined the term highly sensitive people. And then there's the book that I'm reading, but I'm very fucking slow on it. Tom Falkenstein. Falkenstein. Fucking, c'est allemand là, puis leur nom. Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Okay. Where I was going. I don't want to be the poster child for being a highly sensitive. Basically, I don't want my name online associated with being sensitive, right? But here's the reality. Even being in denial of being highly sensitive, I'm already the fucking poster child for it. Whether I accept it or not. Whether I continue the path of, nah, man, I ain't no bitch. I ain't like them, you know, fuck that. I'm a man's man. I get these hoes. I fuck bitches, and I don't care. I don't give a fuck if she's pregnant. I ain't taking care of their kids. Hello? You okay? You know? Like, even when you try to fight the fact that you're a hypersensitive person, you are being a hypersensitive. You are being the poster. Because the average man who has the trait of being highly sensitive, has the, I shouldn't use this word, but I'm going to fucking say it, has a fucked up, it's not fucked up, but the male who has a, sensory overload? Ah, fuck it, you guys are gonna make me Google this shit. Okay, hypersensitivity stands for, I'll finish my point. I'm saying, sensory, there we go, sensory processing sensitivity. I'm not sure what that means, but anyway. The average male, if there's a man out there who is in the same boat, has the same trait as me, sensory processing sensitivity. In this world that asks you to be a real man, look, you got a penis, you got to act like a real man. You need to be a member of the cult of masculinity. In that world, you're spending your life in denial of hiding the fact, masking the fact that you have sensory processing sensitivity. That's the scientific trait. All right? So I can't run from it, regardless. I can't. It's wild. It's again, processing thoughts. I am not in it. Like, I was thinking of a friend of mine. We were discussing of Elisa Boyan. I guess I should call this person as opposed to talking about her in the third person. But the idea that, because I was surprised at the fact that she managed to make a whole business out of mentoring people who are HSP, who are highly sensitive. And yeah, she shares some amazing content and all that shit, right? And where was I going with this? Yeah, we were just talking about it. She made herself to be a mentor. I'm not there yet. No, you know what I am? I don't consider myself. She's accepted it. That's the important part. She's accepted it about herself and made it a bigger deal. For me, I am still on my journey. I'm still defining my person. I'm still trying to accept this shit for myself. You know, sometimes I wonder, would it have been easier if I was attracted to men, would it have been easier for me to accept that more than to accept the fact that I might cry during an episode of This Is Us? Like, I don't publish that shit. I don't go out. No, I only discuss this shit on the podcast. Like, that's my battle. That's my journey. In therapy, yeah, when I first came into therapy, I remember going in there. Part of it was, look, I can't continue being a black person and having this and being this punk ass bitch. I need you to, like, I thought to delete that punk ass, take out the bitch assness out of my body, whatever, out of my spirit. By punk ass bitch, I'm talking about being highly sensitive. Like, I couldn't figure out how to navigate in this cruel world and being like, and giving a fuck. Caring was a problem for me. So, needless to say, I'm better now than I was on my first day of therapy, but I'm still struggling in accepting my personhood, which is why, shout out to Solaris, man, because I, listening to this individual talk, we need another word for it, because I was going to say brother, I was going to say sister, but what's an affectionate term for this individual? I guess, another word to say. This soul. Yeah, this soul. Listen to this soul speak inspired me, because I understand the whole, look, if you don't want to get my pronouns correct, that's on you. But if you hear me trying to correct you, that's a sign of affection. I feel like, to me, that's equivalent to, look, if you're a white person and I've never called you the N-word, we're not really friends. If you've never heard me say the N-word around you, yeah, we're not really friends. I'm showing you a version of me that I believe won't fucking scare you. So the point is, I don't want to be a poster child. And the other reason I don't want to be a poster child is because, look, I don't want to, I have three Twitter accounts. I have my Shut Up Podcast one, I have my B Blizzak one, and I have another account that I use for thirst traps, right? Porn, sex workers, I all follow in that one, right? But that, like, I navigate through the world of sin. Like, that's the account I'm going to hell for, that account right there, because there's a lot of sin in that account, right? Notice I don't give you the name of that account. When I mature, I'll share it with you. But my point is, it's like I compartmentalize. I put my personalities in compartments. But I'm realizing that, no, I think I just need, I want to, the ideally, I would love to integrate all three together. Because that's what I am. Yes, I could be a freak. I've been to, I was thinking about, there's a picture of me at the Exotic Erotic Ball in San Francisco, yeah, because I attended, right? And it's just a plain picture of me. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I have my glasses on. And around my neck, I have a camera. That's me. I'm a preacher's kid, but in the background, I'm like, I can tell you the name of a porn star. Like I'm I have a fucked up relationship, not fucked up relationship, but it's like, I act like the church going boy, but on the other end, I'm like thinking about that last scene from Bleu Nuit. I'm sexualizing women in my head. Like I have a complex relationship with sex. Some words would, you know, a freak, not a freak, a creep. I don't know. But I'm just looking at this picture. I look innocent with my camera. It's like, yes, I want to see naked chicks. I want to see naked girls. But when I leave, I want to act like, no, whoa, what the fuck? Yo, I don't watch no porn. You know, it's, I'm not, it's like I'm not a creep, but I have the profile of, I just love that picture. Because that's what the beauty of Exotic Erotic Ball was all about, is to explore your sexuality. And mine is the porn consumer. That's, you know what, the guy who consumes porn, the guy who like, okay, I don't go that far, but if you would look at that picture, you would say, yeah, that guy goes to like the AVN to get the autograph of performers. You know, he's the guy who gets mad if you call women hoes. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Okay, what I'm saying is, having those three accounts is symbolic of the fact that I haven't figured out how to bring those three together. And another reason why I don't want to be I can't be the poster child being a highly sensitive person, is because it's as if everyone who like behaves in one way. Oh, you don't like to look at violence. You know, the shit that I do, that maybe it's a maladaptive practice, but there's still shit that I do. It's the reason why I can't call myself a mentor, because I'm still figuring shit out for myself. Look, I'm a black guy trying to figure out how to be black and highly sensitive. It's something that doesn't join too well, too fucking together. Yeah. Last point I was going to make, and this goes back to the same podcast I was listening to, the podcast movie. They asked this question about how do you handle negative feedback? And is that what the... Hold on, let me make sure I got the question right. He goes, I think it's, how do you handle negative feedback? Let me go. Man, these niggas post a lot of questions. Yes, how do you deal with negative feedback about your podcast? And you know what's the problem with these questions? It's not the questions, but it's how, I don't know if people actually read the answers. Like, people rather answer better than they like to read it. But yeah, so finally I took the time to read other people's answers. And there's one person who wrote something that I connected to the most, that had me think, yes. Called Mental Illness Theater. He goes, it depends. Is someone who is offended by our content, we have a minute-long warning, listener advisory, telling people we are not for everyone. So we really don't care about that kind of feedback. But feedback on sound, quality, quantity, research, etc., we take seriously. I'm going to bring this up because it had me thinking about the kind of podcast. Look, the kind of person I want to be is equivalent to the kind of podcast I want to produce. There's a link between those two. That's why if I'm not treating my podcast like everyone, like a final product, it's because of this. Because I'm still figuring shit out. And yeah, I know I used to be worried about negative feedback, but it hit me. I'm like, look, I make sure to start the podcast and say, yo, she would die with Whitey, then fuck you too. I go out of my way to start out and say, yo, a black guy runs this podcast. I curse. That's my advisory warning. So I think about how I grew up, where I'm going with this. It's more, That quote just reminded me of when I look at every other podcast, I'm not you, podcaster. Like Kanye said, everything I'm not makes me everything I'm not makes me everything I am. And yeah. Like I think I'm just gonna end this with a shout out to my siblings in the LGBTQ community for trying to inspire the rest of us. No, you know, they're not trying. They are. Even though they're facing dangers and whiplash and all that, but for inspiring us, the rest of us, to define our own identity. To define our own identity, right? That's it. Yeah. Because I spent most of my life trying to be like everyone else, only to realize that I am not like them. All right. Okay. I was trying to end on something positive, strong. But yo, fuck it, man. It's my podcast. All right. Okay. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. And you know what? I am going to call it 070. I am not you. I'm not you. Excuse me. I'm not you. There we go. Now you got the full context of what it means. Fuck, I feel good. Feel good about this episode. All right. Holler at me, like I mentioned, on Twitter until Elon Musk fucks it up. My Twitter handle is bblizak, and my second one is Shut Up Podcast. And, you know, one day when I grow up, I'll tell you about my third one. Yeah, especially if you got, you know, if you like to share boobies. Okay, website is shutuppodcast.com. That's where you can find the show notes for this episode. Email address, if you're old school like me, is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Yeah, you know what? I'm open to feedback, positive feedback. Constructive feedback. Like, don't tell me shit like, you know what? Your podcast would be better if it was shorter. Nah, man. that doesn't work for me. Yeah. So I encourage feedback, especially the content that I share. I would love to hear your thoughts about it. RSS feed. To subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed on the website or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. Or I'm on Google and Apple Podcasts. Should I say in or? Anyways, hey, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Word.
I ain't no devil. This is not the words of Jesus Christ.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch.